Let's read chapter 21 in the book of St. Luke. I come up here and a lot of times I have thoughts other than me getting up ministering. But I find myself up here and carried away and preaching before I even know what I'm doing. I guess the pressure's so great as to seeing what's going on. But anyway, chapter 21, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. This is the book of St. Luke. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls, and we shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth. Ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, it goes on to say, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out in a boat to the mount that is called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Let's read the whole chapter. Notice what he says here. I'd like to comment just a little bit. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. This generation. When he says this generation, I can see a twofold meaning. First of all, he could be saying this generation as to that generation that sees these things that he spoke of coming to pass. That is the kingdom of God at hand, the powers of heaven shaken, and the armies compassed in Jerusalem. All of these things, he said that they that see these things, that generation will not pass away till everything was consummated. All, everything was fulfilled. Then on the other hand, he's speaking as in his day, saying to the people to whom he is speaking, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." In that he came to fulfill everything. And when he hung at Calvary, he said, "Father, it is finished." Saying that not one jot nor tittle of the law should pass until all be fulfilled. And in that he fulfilled the law and took away every jot and tittle, there was nothing else left but for us by faith to enter into the rest of the Lord. Seeing that they that to whom Moses spake could not enter into his rest because of unbelief, now come the days of the Lord Jesus, as to the bringing that of the bar mitzvah and fulfilling the law, that it might be folded up and laying it away, he brings to pass faith. And then when faith comes into power, now we enter into the rest of the Lord. Because you enter into the rest of the Lord by faith, seeing that the works was finished from the foundation of the world. To believe then is not to work, and not to work is to believe. And to believe then is to rest from your works. So then the works being finished from the foundation of the world, and the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, then brought to light at Calvary at the rent veil, and that when the curtains open is the drama of the last part of this great wonderful thing, we enter into his rest by faith. Alright, so then we see another thing here. He said, "These be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled," speaking as to the time when they'll flee into the mountains, leave the cities of Jerusalem, Jerusalem be compassed about, which apparently is pointing toward the middle of Daniel's last week. But he also speaks here of the betraying both the parents and brethren, kinfolks, friends, being called to be put to death and these kind of things, just as we see it in the day we're living in. And that they would persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and in prison. That is, they'll do all kind of things against you. He said, they'll do this for my sake, my name's sake, which they're doing already in the day that we're living in. And in that day that they'd come in the name of the Christ, and they'd say all kind of things, and they'd do all kind of miracles and whatever, you know. But he said that still there was a little time left. There'd be earthquakes, there'd be famines, fearful sights. Then he said, and there'd be signs in the suns and in the moon and the stars, which are discovering, scientists are discovering all these things. Perplexity of the sea and waves roaring, we're having the tidal waves and having all these things. He spoke in the book of Acts of pillars of smoke and the great mushroom light. Pillars of smoke that we're having from the bursting of the bombs. And then he says here, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, as to what Peter had spoken of, where he spoke of the elements being on fire. Oh, that is speaking of the atomic particles or the atomic powers. So then those things that are in heaven being shaken, in that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Speaking of the demon powers and having rule over the atomic particles as mind over matter, as science falsely so called, in that the mind of Christ is the only true mind over matter, in that that's the only thing that ever created matter. All right, so then we see here that he speaks of the powers of heaven being shaken, which apparently has to do with the bumming, as when these four winds are turned loose that the book of Revelation speaks of after the sealing of the Jews. And the catching away of the bride. He said, the powers of heaven being shaken. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And if you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find that this is exactly the truth. Now, I thought about talking about faith a little bit tonight. I like to talk about faith. And I'm always interested in encouraging your faith. I love to talk about faith. And we no doubt will get around to saying something about faith before we get through, because the whole thing centers around faith. Because it's by grace, the grace of God through believing or through faith that we are saved. And not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So then we preach faith for divine healing. We preach faith for divine deliverance. One of the things that's outstanding in my mind is the Bible said, let not these words of God depart from your ears. Keep them before your eyes. Hide them in your heart. Meditate upon them day and night. Give yourself wholly to these things. That is, let your whole life be surrounded with the thoughts of the Word. Think about the Word. Sing about the Word. Meditate in the Word. Be in the Word. Build a mind with the Word. Always building your faith in the Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you should always think about the Word of God. Faith entering into the rest of the Lord. Because all of these things is coming upon the earth. Seeing that all of these things shall come upon the earth, what manner of conversation should we have? What manner of people should we be? In all holy conversation, looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. So then we need faith in God. See, we need faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. A lot of times I refer to Mark 11:22, where he said, have faith in God, when they marveled because the fig tree had dried up after that Jesus had cursed it. And Jesus said in so many words, why marvel at this? He said, I tell you that whatever you say, if you can believe in your heart and not doubt, you can have it. You know, if you can believe in your heart, I've said so many times, we say, you know, I just can't believe. Because we ask the Lord for something, or we say something and it don't come to pass, then we say, well, Brother Pike, I just can't believe. That's my problem. I can't believe. I've tried it and it just don't work. I've tried it so many times and it just doesn't work, and we grow very discouraged over it. See, but that's not true. It doesn't mean that you haven't believed because you didn't get it. It doesn't mean that you didn't believe, but it doesn't mean that your believing didn't have any strength. Maybe you did believe, but the Bible said, strengthen those things that remain, lest I come and remove your candlestick. See, the Bible says concerning Abraham, who was the father of the faithful, that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. See, he had strength with his faith. And I've said a lot of times too that the problem of the church today is not that they don't believe, but they don't have any strength with their faith. Faith without works is dead. Just like the body without the spirit is dead, there is no strength to the body. See, unless there is the spirit. And the body without that spirit is dead. So then there is no strength to faith unless there is a work to go with it. There must be a work. If my body is going to have works, it's got to have a spirit. It's got to have an energy. Got to have a strength. Got to have a quickening. If I can't have that strength, if I can't have that quickening, then I can't have works. I can't have production. Now, it's just this way. I can't have any works. I can't have any works with my faith. See, unless I'm inspired of God, I've got to be inspired of God. I've got to have a vision. Without the vision, the people perish. But if I can get a vision in God, if somebody can preach to me, if I can read the Bible, if I can find something that will stimulate, stir me, catch my interest, then I'll be just like the man that goes after the dollar, the man that goes after the education, the man that goes after the things of this world. Sow to the flesh, and shall of the flesh reap. What will you reap? Deterioration. Things that will deteriorate. Things that will corrupt. But nevertheless, you will reap a harvest. See, if you go after the Spirit, then you'll reap of the Spirit everlasting life. So then if I'm inspired, then I'll put forth some effort. So then I put forth my effort. I put forth my works to please God. Then I assure my heart. I bring confidence to my heart. And then my heart begins to believe. Now, if my heart begins to believe, then I'm all right. Everything is all right then. Because if I can get my heart to have confidence, I know that whatever I ask of God, God will give it to me because I have confidence that He hears me. But until I have confidence that God hears me, I'll never get it. One of the old things of the Old Testament was, it said, and ye do not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. My interest is to make my voice to be heard on high. If God heareth me, if I can get God to hear me, I'm not worried about getting my petition. Because God has already given me all things that pertain unto life. In Christ Jesus, before the world ever was, He gave me all these things. When the Lamb was slain, He wrote my name down in the Lamb's book of life. If I be one of those, then He give me all things pertaining to life. And all these things was given to me by predestination before the world ever was. Brought to light at Calvary. And it was said when Paul was preaching, all that was ordained unto eternal life, the Bible said they believed. The others did not believe. So then when this comes, I say, Lord, if I can get you to hear me, if I just know that you hear my voice. Now, if I'm one of the elect, I know that you'll hear me. If I do the things that please you, the Bible said, make your calling and election sure. If you be the elect of God according to foreknowledge, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And if you be the elect according to God's foreknowledge, if you can get God to hear you, make your calling and election sure, or make sure that you are one of the called and one of the elect. By doing these things that appertains unto the Spirit, these things as to performing that which is godliness and that which is temperance and that which is patience. That is to say, if you can perform these things, that means that is the Spirit of God doing those things through you. And if that be so, then you can never fall, because he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. In that he that is born of God is sealed inwardly by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin, for the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is to say, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of him, which is the seed of God, or even Christ. And there's no way that darkness and light can fellowship. So darkness cannot penetrate that light. That light expels the darkness. So you're altogether free from sin and free from death. And the Bible said the one that finds these words of God will find life, and they will find health. Health to their body, because it's healing. For he sent his word and healed them. Faith cometh by the word. See, faith by the word, because in the beginning was the word. The word was God. Before it became a word, it was the Spirit God, the great light. See, and when it comes to me as a hearing, as an intellectual thought, I must convert it again through this transitional change, through my hearing, through my understanding, to bring it down into my heart. And once again, it will be a great understanding as to a spiritual quickening, which will be life. It will be alive. See, I bring it down into this great, wonderful understanding and make it life. Dionia, that is the word as to saying mind, the Greek word as to mind or understanding. I bring it down into my understanding. I get it down not into that part as to the Greek word, as to the human mind, or that which gives me all the problems as the repercussion, that which Satan uses, but I bring it down into my heart as the mind of Christ. You know, a man's mind is in his head. As to a human mind, it's in his head, because he has five senses that's like an octopus with its feelers. You know, they go out and they record as to the vanities that are around. And they are just like fingers on a typewriter that comes upon the brain, and the brain records all of this. But the mind of God, which is the mind of Christ, is from a spirit world that comes into a heart through a spiritual contact and a spiritual inspiration, which is faith by the hearing. So then we know that we are inspired of God, and we have this faith in God. So then if I know how to believe, I can have what I want. Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart. You know, you can believe in your head with your intellectual believing, but that's not faith. But when you get to where you can believe in your heart, you can't believe in the heart. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. It's deceitful. Who can know it? But when you persuade the heart by repenting of your sins, by conforming to the things of God, by doing the things that please God, then making your heart to be persuaded in God, you know, then you're doing the things that please God. Then all of a sudden, when you do the things that please God, there arises a confidence in your heart, which is faith. That is believing. Now, then you've got to have strength. See, to have faith, you've got to have strength. It takes works with faith. For faith without works is dead. That's what's wrong with the church today. The church world of today, all they do, they come in a revival, and like in the Billy Graham and the Oral Roberts and all of the churches of today, practically, they come and they stand before the altar or whatever, and they say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they make a confession, that's all there is, and they go away believing that they're saved. Because the evangelist, of course, tells them that his Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they fail to tell them that the Bible says, he that continueth to the end, the same shall be saved, as to holding your faith steadfast in God, not casting away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Or they fail to tell them that faith without works is dead. And not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See, that is according to holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So then we have to preach faith, all right? But faith means that we believe in the word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, is to line upon line and precept upon precept. That is to say, if God said something here and God said something here and God said something here, all three of those things had to be brought together that I might believe all three of those things, and then is my faith complete in the Lord. And when my faith is complete in the Lord, it is brought to pass, the fulfilling of the scripture, Abraham was justified by faith. Because after doing the thing that pleased God as to offering up the son, it was the confirmation of his faith. When God said, thus and thus, Abraham, do thus and thus, and Abraham did it, that was the proof of his faith. So then show me your faith without any efforts, without doing anything, and I'll show you what I believe by what I practice. Well, that is to say, if I'm a fisherman, I'm a hunter, then you know that's what I believe in. If I'm running after money and trying to have a business, you know that's what I believe in. If I go to church and worship God, you know that's what I believe in. Because I do what I believe in. Is that right? If I drink, if I curse, if I fight, then that's what I believe in. So then you cannot go around confessing that you believe one thing when you're whoring after another thing. See, that doesn't make any sense at all, because you're lying. And the Bible said, lie not against the truth. So then, what is wrong? The problem with the church today, some people have faith. They have faith, but they're not strong in faith. Now let's look at this for just a minute. Sometimes the scripture seems confusing if you don't understand it. And as I said the other night, we say things and do things that we ought not to do because we don't understand. We should leave certain things to the minister, but we don't. We take up those things and we go to do those things. We find out we don't know what we're doing when we should leave it to the ministry, because he's supposed to understand what he's doing. And if he's a true minister, he does understand. But so many people do so many things and they don't understand at all what they're doing. Here Jesus uses the terms. I was explaining a number of these things to my wife the other day. Now here we find Jesus. He looks at the disciples and he's preaching to them and he tells them certain things, and they say, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus kind of giving them a rebuke. He said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and it would be obeyed thee, and nothing would be impossible unto you. And then I've thought, in the Holy Land I've looked at a mustard seed, and it's so tiny, that if you're not careful, you won't even see it when you have it in your hand. See, and I've looked at it, and I thought, how tiny. Faith, so tiny. Just a tiny, tiny tad of faith, he said, would move a mountain. And I thought, well, God, it's just as though you said to them, well, you don't have any faith at all. If you had any faith, it seemed he was saying, you know, you'd be doing great things. Because he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And then he goes right on over and you find him preaching over here. And here he is on the boat. And all of a sudden there's a turmoil and something happens. They go back there and they say, Master, Master, carest thou not if we perish? And all of a sudden Jesus comes up and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And then you think, but God, how can you say little faith? You said if you had any kind of faith, as we would say, that you could move a mountain. If these fellows had little faith, well, they could just do anything they wanted to. Just a little bit of faith, even as a grain of mustard seed. So I would say, how little is little? Man, how much little could it get? How much smaller or littler could it get than a grain of mustard seed? The Bible said that's the smallest seed of them all. And yet it grows to be the biggest of all herbs. So that even fowls can come and lodge in the branches. And you say, my God, how small are you talking about when you say little faith? When you told them that if he had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Lord, how little is little? Even smaller than the grain of mustard seed. But see, you have to understand what the Lord is saying. The Lord is letting us know here that we have to have strength to believe. You must have strength. You must strengthen that you have. You may believe, but that's not enough. That's not registering with God as faith. To be little in believing means you don't have any strength with your believing. You've not done anything to please God. Someone says, well, I don't believe that. That's not what it's saying. Well, let's look at it again. Here we come over here and here's some men that's trying to cast out a devil. And this boy over here has a spirit of epilepsy. And they're trying to cast it out. Have you ever prayed for anybody and seen them get delivered of that? We've been fortunate we have. And here they're trying to do this and they couldn't do it. When they couldn't do it, then Jesus came along and he cast the devil out. When he cast the devil out, then they came to Jesus later. And they said, Lord, why could we not do this? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Now, there it is. Because of your unbelief. Your lack of faith. You couldn't do it because of your lack of faith. Nothing else. Nothing like it. Somebody said, well, that wasn't what it was. That's what it says. And I believe what it said. He said it was because of your unbelief. You couldn't do it because your faith wasn't there. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It was the word of God. He said you could not do it because of your unbelief. Howbeit, he said, as he added, this kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer. And by fasting. Now what is he saying? What is he saying now? Because of your unbelief. But really what he's saying, he's saying that your believing didn't have the strength. Because they went out there believing. They went out there with effort. They went out there trying. But he was saying you didn't have any strength. You didn't have any strength. When the devil rises up against us, folks, we don't have any strength. Unless we first draw nigh to God. The Bible said draw nigh to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Those men that run over there and said we adjure you by the Christ that Paul preacheth. And the man in whom the devils were overcame them and tore their clothes off of them. And they fled from him because he overpowered them. When we as Christians have power over the devil. But the thing is if we don't draw nigh to God, there's no need of us going and trying to resist the devil. You know, if I was a hunter, the first thing I would advise you to do if I was a big game hunter, I'd say, folks, don't go resisting a lion unless you have a lion gun. And don't go hunting for elephants, a wild elephant, unless you have an elephant gun. Don't take a BB gun and go looking for elephants. Don't take a little 30-30, as you say, go looking for elephants. That might do for deer. But don't go after elephants like that. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then we have to be equipped according to the honey. You know, it depends on what you want to do. If you just want to go to church, all right. That's all right. But you'll soon get in trouble. Even with that, you're going to hear so much, you're going to get in trouble. You know, but if you're going to do anything for God, and if you're going to stay above board, as we say, if you're going to have any strength over the devil, you're going to have to draw nigh to God because the devil is real. You might not have run into him yet, but you're going to run into him somewhere. And folks, he's real. He's real. You don't understand that he's real. Just like God is real, the devil is real. And you're going to run into him. And when you run into him, you'll never run into anything like that in your life. I hear these evangelists sometimes hopping along and skipping on one foot and slapping people down and pushing people down, you know, and saying, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get out of here, devil, hallelujah. Old slew foot, and I think you don't know nothing about the devil. One of these days he'll get a hold of you, and as the old saying goes, he'll turn you every way but loose. You know, they're healthy and well and going along real good and ain't long before the devil creeps up on them and he's overthrown them with adultery or he's already got them to begin with a lot of time in adultery when they're doing these things or he's got them with money and fame and popularity and everything else while they're hopping and skipping. He's part of their party. So then, we need to draw nigh to God. We need to not play with the things of God. If we're going to be Christians, we're going to have to draw nigh to God. See, just like Ananias and Sapphira, they played with the devil. They thought, well, this church is outstanding. They're having miracles and people are praising them. And my, this is such a glorious thing. It's such a beautiful thing. And Ananias and Sapphira thought, we'll just join this. And they thought, now what do we have to do to join this? Well, they're selling all that they've got. And they're taking, they're giving it to the ministry and they're dividing it with the poor and whatever. And that's what we'll have to do. So Ananias says to Sapphira and Sapphira to Ananias. They get together and they said, well, I know what we'll do. We'll sell all that we've got. That's a good idea. And we'll take the money. We'll have lots of money or whatever it would be as we would say in this day. And I tell you, but we won't give it all. We'll just give some of it. We'll lay a little of it aside over here. We'll keep some of it and we'll share something with these folks. And then we'll be part of this glorious thing and God will be our God and we'll see all these miracles and we'll be part of this famous thing that's going on. And as it was, as you know the story, when one of them came before Peter and then God spoke to Peter, and when God spoke to Peter and he said, did you sell the land for such and such and such? And they said, we did. And immediately they dropped dead and they yielded up the ghost. See, they had run into God Almighty. And they had played with the devil and they'd run headlong into Satan. And he had bound them hand and feet. And they didn't realize that. And then when they let him engineer and maneuver their lives to lie to the Holy Ghost, when they lied to the Holy Ghost, the man of God spake. And when he spoke and they answered the man of God, they never dreamed that they were speaking to God Almighty. And that when they spoke and answered the man, that they were saying that to God Almighty and that they were doing that thing. And folks, look at the church of today. Look at the people of today. All over the world, they're doing that today. And they're dying. Many of them are spiritually dying like that. And diseases and every kind of thing is coming upon them because they're holding back a part of the price. Whether it's as to do their own little thing in life, they say, I cast my lot with the church. And they come over there and they join the body of the church. But their mind is to be some celebrity, or their mind is to have some kind of business, or their mind is to go out here in the world. And they've not really given their life and their strength and their time to God. They've not really given their all to God. They've not shared their fullness with God. They're holding back of their mind, holding back of their strength, holding back of their plan, holding back of their desires, holding back of the ambitions of life as to whatever they want to do. And after a while, they run into the devil. But folks, I'm telling you, you need some strength for your faith. Strengthen that remains. He said, unless I come and I'll move your candlestick. And the Bible said the candlestick of the Lord, it's the spirit of man. For the spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord, searching out the inward part. And when God moves your candlestick, you'll be like Ananias and Sapphira. They'll wind you up and they'll take you out. So I'm saying that we need some strength. It's not always that we don't believe. But it is that we're not strengthening our faith. We're not doing anything. We're not fasting. We're not praying. We're not giving. We're not sacrificing. We're not conforming to holiness. We're not laying aside the things of the world. We got our little movies on the side. We've got our little programs on the side. We come to church when we want to. We stay away from church when we get ready. And we just do exactly like we want to do. See, this is the little foxes that spoil the vines. The Bible said our vines have tender grapes. And this is where we get into trouble. But if we would do the things God tells us to do, if we would really press in and obey God and be like the early church, God would give healings in our midst. God would deliver us. God would give that glorious blessing. The Holy Spirit would pour out of Himself upon us. And the Holy Ghost would just anoint us and activate us till we become a light to the whole world. Everything that we'd done would prosper. And healing would be just like that in our midst. Health to our flesh. You know, God the Father is there. He's there listening. The great God of heaven, our heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then there's his lovely son Jesus. And he's making intercession to our Heavenly Father for us. Heavenly Father, he's saying, Heavenly Father, my flesh, in the days of his flesh, he offered up crying with prayer and fasting. The Bible said with strong crying and tears all night long he would beseech the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, have mercy on George Pike. Heavenly Father, I pray for him that his faith fail not in the time of the trials when he meets this hideous power called Lucifer. Heavenly Father, give me strength to prevail for him that in his day he may be able to face this, and Frank Taylor may be able to face this, because they cannot do it, Heavenly Father, but through thee we can do all things. I pray for them that their faith fail not. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter's works had already failed when he started cursing. But he said, Peter, after thou art converted, well, that is, I prayed for you that at least you can believe in my mercy after you've done all these things, Peter. That your faith fell not, and sure enough, his faith come back up. So then, I'm saying that we need to strengthen our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. Will I find faith at my coming, Jesus said. See, we need to enter into his rest. Fear, lest you fail to enter into his rest, that is, have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. See, we need to have faith in God, not make believe, but have faith in God. If he prayed to the Heavenly Father there as the Son of God, he was saying, Heavenly Father, send the Holy Ghost into George's heart. Heavenly Father, send my spirit, this spirit of travail, into George's heart. In the days of my flesh, I beseech thee, and I'm going to become his sin, and I'm going to Calvary, and I'm going to let you smite me for Frank Taylor and George Pike's sins and the sins of the whole world. And when you fold up my body and you lay it away, this spirit of travail, this Holy Spirit that's been clean and holy, this Holy Ghost, this Christ on the inside, when they call upon my name, let him come back. For if you call upon the name, it'll be that you're saved. For the Bible said, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Christ Spirit, the eternal life, when it comes, it'll come in my name. When they call upon my name, let my spirit, or the Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit, come into their heart, and let the Holy Spirit seal them on the inside to where Satan can never touch them and defile them never again. Do this for me, Father. And as he started to go away, and they talked to him, he said, I'm from above, you're from the earth, you're from the dust, I'm from heaven. And he said, while I was with you, I kept you in my name, or Father, I've kept these. And he said, I've said to you, if you need anything, just come and tell me, and I'll pray to the Heavenly Father. That's what he told him. If you want anything, just come and tell me, and I'll pray to the Heavenly Father, and he'll give it to you. He said, but now I'm going away. I say not now again that you should pray to me, that I should pray to the Heavenly Father. He said, for the Heavenly Father loveth you because you've cared for me. He said, I say now that I'm going away. As to the fleshly body folded up and laid away, he said, and all shall be fulfilled. Now that I've fulfilled everything that required as to righteousness, as to the law, whatever, you are now in his grace. I say not that ye should tell me to pray to you for the Heavenly Father, but he said, whatever you ask the Heavenly Father in my name, he'll do it for you because you've loved me. Just call on him in my name. Just call on him in my name, and my spirit will return in my name right into your heart. Because he is the high priest of my confession. He is the one that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. He is the one that entered into my heart and the kingdom of God on the inside of me and maketh intercession and the groans and moans that cannot be uttered, things that I can't utter, that my soul crieth for. And he knoweth the need of the Spirit at all times, as to the sufficiency of my heart and my spirit. So then, I just say, in thy name. See, I rest like this in my faith. I think of it like this in my faith. I say, Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I need a deliverance. God, I got to pay a bill. Lord, I need to go overseas. Lord, I need to do this. And then I look up to heaven like this. And I say, I know you're going to give it to me, Lord. I'm doing the very best I know how to do. You know, I'm not anything in life. I'm not special. I haven't done anything to merit anything. I'm just stumbling and staggering along. I'm less than the least. God, full of faults and failures as to my own ability. But Heavenly Father, I'm trying to do what I understand. I'm trying to be honest with you. And I know that you're going to give it to me, Heavenly Father. I know that you are. Because Jesus asked you to give it to me. He prayed for me. He said, Heavenly Father, give this to your son, George. Give it to your son, George Pike. Give it to him, Father. And I say, Father, you've never refused Jesus anything. You never will refuse Jesus anything. And in that he asked for me, I say, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, remember. And God gives it to me. Because he never has refused him anything. Let's give him a hand. Never has he refused him anything. And I prayed for these, Father, that you keep them in your name. I've not prayed for the world, he said, but I prayed for these, that you might keep these, Father, whom you've given me. I've not lost to one of them, all of these. I'll raise them up in the last day. I've not lost to one except the son of perdition. Before the world ever was, he was a devil. All right, so that we see that God loves us. See, we're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're asking the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, is my only source of life. It's eternal life. It's my healing. It's my health. It's all, everything. If I don't have him, I don't have nothing. See, he's everything. He's that spirit that was supposed to come back to me when the bodily presence of Jesus went away. Then that Christ, that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost was supposed to come back and be my comforter and live in me and abide in me and teach me and tutor me. And he, the Spirit of truth, was supposed to guide me into all truth and understanding. So then through him I draw nigh unto God. I build my faith in God. I get full of the Holy Ghost. I keep on praying till I get full of the Holy Ghost. And then when the devil comes along, then I can raise up and say, Satan, I adjure thee by God. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, and he's gone just like that. That's right. If you don't believe that, just remember that he's the spirit of darkness. Remember intellectual darkness and Christ as to light, as to the mind of Christ. Take darkness and cut on a light and see if the darkness don't go that fast. It's gone that fast. It won't give you an argument. If you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. But I tell you what, if you've got one of them kind of lighters, you flip it and it goes out, and you flip it and it goes out, and you flip it and it goes out, or you light it and it goes out, and you light it, you're not going to get anywhere. And if you go to light your lamp and you find there's no oil in it, you're going to find yourself in a desperation and a condition to where there won't be any light whatsoever. And then you're going to be sad of the whole situation because you're going to find yourself in that intellectual darkness of a nightmare, of a threat, of a hurt, of a horror, of a hideous thing of torment and torture, of fear and frustration that you can't get out of it. It's an anxiety building up that will terrorize you in such a way that your nerve system will go all to pieces. You'll go all to pieces. You can't stand it. Oh, somebody says, I can handle it. I guarantee you can't handle it. No way. There's no living human being that ever lived on the face of the earth or ever will live that can handle it except through Christ Jesus. Someone says, how did Jesus do it? He was a man like I'm a man. If he's a man, I can do it too. I beg your pardon, he was God. He was God. You might not have recognized him as being God. All flesh is corrupted its way before God, but he was God. And he is the master of Satan. He's the supremacy of Satan. And when he personified himself in Christ Jesus, the Bible said to wit that God was in Christ, not as in a measure, but the fullness of God in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That was God. And when God met Lucifer, Lucifer took a bow to his master. And folks, if you've got God on the inside of you, at whatever measure you might have, Satan will take a bow as to whatever measure you give yourself to. That's why the Bible said, let us go on to the full measure, the full stature, let us go on to the full reward. Because whatever that measure is, as to whatever you allow yourself to be, that's what you are, is the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Our God, the Spirit, was made the Word. That Word was made flesh. And so then we beheld the body of the Word. And today you're the members of the body of the Word. As to whatever measure he was without measure, as to whatever measure, whatever you give yourself to God to be, then are ye the Word in the earth. As to whatever measure of the Word, as to that, you can put Satan to flight and you can do things even as the Master did them. As these things that I've done, so shall ye do. Jesus said, I do these things, so shall ye do these things. The same things that I do, ye do. But we've got to remember one thing. We do them according to the measure, as to whatever we are in our strength and the Word. That's the only way we can do it. These works shall ye do also, but according to your measure, as to your strength, as to the Word. And if you have plenty of strength, you do plenty of work. If you are plentiful in the Word, and then as to the strength of the Word, then plenty of things will happen in your life. And if not, then few things will happen. If you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then shall you reap bountifully in these things. All right. So then we see where we've been, we can tell where we are, and we know where we're going. The world doesn't understand it all. Neither shall they see when good cometh. So we need strength. Oh, ye of little faith. Why did you fear? Jesus said, fear not. Let's be full of the Holy Ghost by conforming to his way. Let's be full of the Holy Ghost by self-denial. Let's be full of the Holy Ghost by meditating in his Word day and night. They tarried till they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to you in measure. Remember that. It comes to you in measure. And the more you pray and the more you fast, the more you believe, that strengthens your believing. And the more you believe, the more the Holy Ghost fills you, the greater measure that you get. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. And then his fame spread throughout the land. You may have the Spirit. You may be baptized with the Spirit. You may have faith. But folks, when you do the things as to the works of God to strengthen your faith, you're not going to get faith by works. It comes by hearing the Word as to believing what it said. But to strengthen your faith in God, then you'll have strong faith as Abraham, and you'll do those wonderful, wonderful things that God has ordained that you do. Until then, you're just going to wander about and be in trouble. Let's stand together. Living in the end time. We're living in the end time. And this is a time when we really need to be stirred up for God. If there ever was a time when men need to be stirred for God, it's right now. Living in the end time. I read to you there in the scripture, it said, and at this time of the fulfilling of the times of the Gentiles, when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Jesus said that very plainly. I read it to you. A lot of times we use the term the fulfilling of the days of the Gentiles, and a lot of times we wonder what we're saying. Where does this come from? It comes from the Word. And he said, and the fulfilling of the times, or when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, he said here in the scripture. There's coming a time when the Gentiles' times are going to be fulfilled. And I tell you that calendar-wise, it's showing up already. It's showing up already. All right, so then we see what we need to do. What can we do? What can we do? It's like the song we wrote, they ask us to sing the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? We've hung our harps upon the willows. And how can we sing the song that we sing before our God? And sing that song in a strange land. And another song as we wrote, big trees from little acorns grow. Be careful what you say, who you meet as to what you say. You might plant the right kind of seed that may cause something to really come about to help some weary soul. All right, let's sing this little chorus for me. We will enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter into God's courts with praise. We
They will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad.
Sing that with me now.
Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna just 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad.
Sing it with me now.
Oh, we'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we will enter into His porch with praise, and we'll say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad.
Sing it with me now.
Let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter into His courts with praise. And let us say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad.
Well, the altars are open.
Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad.
The altars are open if you'd like to come.
Jesus made us glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, my Lord made me glad.
Say it again now.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter into His courts with praise. Say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice for Jesus.
Sing that one more time with me.
Us enter into God's gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter into His courts with praise. And let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus makes me glad.
Sing it with me now.
Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice.
Can you sing that with me, Brother Taylor?
So we'll enter into the gate
with
thanksgiving in our hearts. We'll live. Enter into the court with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad.
Sing it with me now.
My Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad.
One more time together.
So we'll enter into those gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter into God's courts with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. But my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Can we sing it one more time together? I'll enter into the gate with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter into his holy place. Say this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna
rejoice.
Just one more time.
Jesus makes me glad.
Enter into the gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter into
his courts
with praise. And I'm gonna say this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Somebody say hallelujah. For Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Bud Taylor. Sometimes we have a real hard road to travel, but we sing this little chorus, and it really is true. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. If I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your head, for there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, shout down the others. Sing it with me now. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you the helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, and down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry on. If I help you carry the load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, cause there's the mountain top. And when we stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord. Give him a wave off of him. So if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you the helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, carry your load. Hallelujah. You believe God will help you carry that load? I believe He will. I believe He will. Let's sing another little chorus or two in worshiping the Lord tonight while we're here, just to praise the Lord, to let Him know that we love Him. We sang that little chorus, I'll go with Him through the garden. Sing that with me. I'll go with Him through the garden, and I'll go with Him, oh, with Him all the way. For where He leads me, Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. He will give me of His grace and of His glory. He will give me of His grace and His glory. God will give me of His grace and His glory. And He'll go with me, all the way. For where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with Him, with Him, all the way. Gone and the stone is rolled back, gone, that tomb empty, gone to sit at my Father's side. Can you sing that with me? Oh, He's gone. Oh, the death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. And He lives forevermore. For it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Death is gone. My Lord lives forevermore. Sing like this now. For it's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back, gone. The fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side, the body dead because of sin, gone. over death triumphant gone.
Sin is defeated.
Gone. Live forevermore. For I'm gone. The heart of stone, it's rolled back. Gone. My flesh with tomb, it's empty. Gone. I sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, I'm alive forevermore.
Remember now, you pass from death unto life. You have eternal life. You're alive forevermore now. And the Bible said the old body of sin is gone. The body of death is now taken away. And at death, the spirit went back to God who gave it. And you are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And the time of the change is the restoration, all the restitution of all things, to bring in that wonderful millennium and the change of the body. And the kingdom of God is now within you. And your spirit is now translated into the wonderful kingdom of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interwoven with the wonderful Holy Ghost. And it's sealed with that lovely spirit of promise, and darkness can never get to it. Light penetrates, and death can never touch it anymore. How wonderful it is to know that you pass from death unto life. So now we're free from death. I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but I'm alive forevermore now, to never come into condemnation. For the Bible said, them that are in Christ Jesus shall never come into condemnation. For now there are no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. And you cannot walk in the flesh because you are not in the flesh. For God has chosen you out of the flesh, the Bible said, and hid you within Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of its wonderful, marvelous change. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. For he's made you to sit to heaven. Sit together in heaven in those wonderful, wonderful places. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Let's sing this little chorus together. Ending somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home. Supper time, the shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, supper time, we're going home at last. I was but a boy in days of trial. I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call out, said of son, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
In memories now, I can see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in glory, and it's supper time upon the golden shores. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Supper time, it's supper time. It really is supper time. It's getting later. Later in the Eastern crisis makes us to know that what we preach tonight is to the boycotting against Jerusalem is near at hand. And Daniel said, when you see the desolation, as to the compassing about of Israel with the armies, then you know that the end of the world would be here. It's time that we really took stock. Can we sing another chorus together?
And time shall be no more. Shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and shall be. Can you sing that with me? For time, remember now at Calvary, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. I always remind you of this. For the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. That was the fullness of time. All was fulfilled and the kingdom of God came. And since that time, the kingdom has been preached and men are pressing their way into the kingdom. It's praying the Father, thy kingdom has come. Now thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Has to change it to that great millennium day as to the restoration of this wonderful restored earth before he brings in that new earth of the great celestial city. Even this earth as to restoration in a 1,000 years reign. So, now we're the generation. Let's come to that great change. And now we're looking back on Calvary, and our generation is to see the end of the world. For Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And now faith is here. And the Bible said, having been kept under the tutors, having kept under the tutors, and that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto grace, so that we might enter into the rest of the Lord. And now we've come to that great, wonderful bar mitzvah of God, to bring us unto grace, that we all might be called the children of God. If children of God, then we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Even this eternal grace, or great grace, as the Bible said, eternal life, that we're now sons of God, daughters of God, members in particular of flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, baptized into one body as to a membership of one spirit, even the precious Holy Ghost as one life into this one membership body as to one head, even Jesus Christ, the head of the church.
in whom all the fullness dwells. Seldom we realize that in our generation, now we've come to the end of the world, and we're looking at Calvary, the end of the world. And the angel, as to Revelation 10 and 7, we see him with hands stretched out at Calvary, saying, "It is finished. I shall be no more, no more, and I shall be no more." For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be. He said, he raised his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, and time. Remember, you're the body of Christ, members in particular. Can you raise your hand to heaven, looking back at Calvary, and say with him, "You're the people upon whose end the world have come"?
Shall be.
In the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son, members in particular. And having spoke to them at sundry times and divers manners by the prophets, as in this latter time did the Holy Ghost speaking, and not you, but your heavenly Father through the membership of the body, that they might all be taught of God, him speaking and not you, having spoken to them by his own Son, that all might be taught of God. Sing it again with me now. For time shall be no more, oh no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he stands on the sea and sing it once again now. He said, "It is finished, and time, and this generation shall not pass, shall all be fulfilled." Revelation 10 and 7, "In the days of the voice, sounding the last trump, and the mystery shall be finished. I shall be no more." Just shall stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more, and I will praise him, and I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing that with me now? "And I'll yield in glory all he by his blood has washed away every stain." Sing it again now. "I will praise him, the Lamb that was slain for sinners. I will praise him, praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory. Washed away." Let's lift our hands up together and close our eyes as we sing this now. "And I will praise him. I will praise." Can you praise him now? "That Lamb for sinners. Can you praise Him?
And I will give Him glory on people. Fire His blood has washed away restraint.
While we sing it again now, I'm going to ask Brother Brown to come up and dismiss us.
I will raise Him my heart, will praise Him.
Can you sing it with me?